Hello, I'm Simon Wakeling, and welcome to this month's edition of Changing the World with CSU Researchers, the show produced for 2MCE by the Researcher Development Team in the Office of Research Services at Charles Sturt University. Each month, we give doctoral students at CSU an opportunity to tell us about their work, what problems they're investigating, how they're conducting their research, and how it could change the world. As regular listeners will know, CSU doctoral students come from all walks of life and very often combine their doctoral studies with other jobs or activities that can be even more interesting than their research. This month's guest, Jayashree Ravindran, is no exception. Jayashree is not only a PhD student at CSU, but also a recently published author. Over the next half an hour, Jayashree will tell us about her research and also about her book. So let's get started.
G'day, I'm Jayashree Ravindran, and I'm doing my PhD with School of Agriculture, Environmental and Veterinary Science here at Wagga Wagga. And I'm also a very recently published author for my book called Splashes of Pink in My Life. It's about embracing your quirkiness and living life to its fullest.
We're going to talk lots more about the book later in the program. First, though, let's find out a bit more about Jayashree's PhD work. I asked her to give us a quick overview of the research.
So my PhD is looking at lactoferrin. Lactoferrin is an iron-bound protein found in milk in such minor quantities. And my PhD topic is actually looking at advanced technology to increase yields for lactoferrin production and discover any byproducts during the production process, so bioactives. So in simple words, basically, it takes about 1 to 2 million liters of milk to get about 100 kgs of lactoferrin. So 1 to 2 million liters of milk to produce 100 kgs of lactoferrin. How can we make this 100 to 105 or 101? Because it's such a high value protein that is used in so many applications. So my PhD is actually looking at that, and I'm very excited about it.
Lactoferrin is going to feature very prominently in today's program, so I asked for more details. What is lactoferrin exactly, and what's it used for?
Lactoferrin is an iron-bound protein. I will say we're all walkie-talkie lactoferrinites because lactoferrin is found in tears, saliva, mucosal gland, in our guts. Highest is in mother's milk, extremely high in mother's milk. That's why it's very important to breastfeed children. And it gives, it's very good for immunity, very good for anti-inflammatory, antifungal, antibacterial, antiviral properties. So it's actually the immune system for a newborn, basically. So where is lactoferrin used? It's actually used in many, many areas, mainly in infant formula. There is applications in skin care, in pharmaceuticals, in nutraceuticals, in bone health, and it's so sparkly pink, and I call it the wonder drug of milk, or at least one of them. I'm very grateful both to my professor, whom I'm doing my PhD with, Professor Bing Wang, Dr. Nidish Francis, and I've also got Professor Jade Forward's support for this PhD, and we've got industry partnership for the PhD. So yes, it's lab-based, and having just started, I'm waiting for my lab stuff to arrive, and I'll be getting my hands right into the lab and start doing my experiments.
So how exactly is lactoferrin extracted? Jayashree talks us through the process.
I actually want you to virtually or auditorily take you to a factory and talk to you about how lactoferrin is actually produced. So imagine a black box right in front of you, and milk goes through that and milk comes out of that. So when the milk goes through, sometimes it's called rich milk, sometimes it's called milk with lactoferrin. Basically, milk goes through this, what's called as resins, or imagine it perhaps like a magnet. And lactoferrin is actually positively charged. So this lactoferrin attracts to the resin, and The milk that goes through is called either flow through or depleted, lactoferrin depleted milk. And basically what happens is once the lactoferrin is on the resin, or this is one of the ways to extract lactoferrin, the first step is what's called as low salt elution. So low salt brine concentration will go through this box and then you elute off the byproducts. And then it's also called the first stream or the first elution or lactoperoxidase. And then after this step, so the next step is a high salt concentration goes through this black box or this ion exchange resin. And what comes off is what's called as lactoferrin. So this there is high salt in that. And once salt is removed, and then it goes through process of, you know, how is salt removed? It's through ultrafiltration. So imagine like going through a membrane and all the lactoferrin is retained and all the salt goes through. And once you get this concentrated lactoferrin in a liquid format, you can either spray dry it, freeze dry it, and pretty much it's ready. So one, milk goes through the resin. Step two, the low salt concentration goes through, lactoperoxidase gets out. Step three, lactoferrin gets out. Step four, salt is removed. Step five, lactoferrin is processed, either spray dried or freeze dried. And voila, you have this beautiful sparkly pink protein, all straight from milk.
Now that we understand the process of extracting lactoferrin, we can better understand what Jayashree's work is attempting to do. She explains exactly how her research will attempt to discover ways to optimize the various processes associated with extracting lactoferrin.
It's similar to driving. So when you're actually driving, you know how you look at the rear mirror, you look at the side mirror, you look at the accelerator, and you make sure, you know, based on the road conditions you drive. So manufacturing lactoferrin, I like to think it of something similar. So there are many aspects to it. There's like, you know, how fast the milk goes through, what's the temperature it's going through, what's the salt concentration it's going through. All these sort of things is what I will be experimenting and looking into it. So imagine, for example, imagine if you're, I don't know if you have seen those shows or played games when, you know, you go into a room and like a tiny, like a phone cabin kind of room, and you know how there's like air blown from the bottom of the room, and then there's all these dollar bills. So how fast can you capture these dollar bills? So if the air velocity is very high, of course you're going to capture less air, and you are only given a limited time, right, to be in that booth or in that telephone booth. So the more you capture is more lactoferrin. So you can imagine those dollar bills are the lactoferrin. So given on the time of the year, season of the year, the what the cows are fed, what time of the month, where is the cow lactating, all these have an impact on the level of lactoferrin in the milk, which means how much lactoferrin do we start with and how much do we actually extract. So my project is looking at one, this is one of the aspects of looking at it. What's how can we optimize the method, and what are we looking at? So that's my project, and I'm very excited about it. Mainly because I've worked in this field for over 9 years in three different factories. And there's only maybe around 30 factories, and there's many more coming up around the world. And I feel very honored and privileged to be in this space. And it's very exciting, and it's a lot of fun. So looking at how can I optimize this? So instead of processing 1 liters, 1 million liters of milk, I'm doing this in a very small scale. I'm doing this on how can I play with this? So that's where the lab thing comes in. And that's pretty much the crux of my PhD.
There's clearly huge potential for this research. I asked Jayashree to explain what impact her work could have on the industry.
There are like a lot of potential impact. So there, when we talk about lactoferrin, there's so many impact, like right from application, right from the science, right through to the technology itself. My PhD is heavily focused on the technology, so it's a small part yet a significant part. So Australia produces the most amount of lactoferrin. Or is probably one of the highest in the world. in terms of contribution to the global demand. So how is this PhD going to help is once I'm able to optimize the method, the industry partners, of course, they're going to be happy. And hopefully this will also be an opening to many other manufacturers to kind of go, oh, okay, we haven't researched on this aspect or that aspect. How can we make things better to produce more? Because the demand for lactoferrin has always been increasing. So since there was a really good paper in the research as well that I was looking at, there was a paper and I could see there was since 2006, there has been an increase in demand for almost 275%. So it's only increasing. There's increasing demand. There's a lot of research being done, be it in the application, be it in the antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal studies as well.
You're listening to Changing the World with CSU Researchers on 2MCE. Today, we're talking to Jayashree Ravindran, who, as you've heard, is using her PhD studies to investigate the potential ways that lactoferrin extraction can be optimized. As I mentioned at the start of the show, this scientific expertise is not the only string to Jayashree's bow. She's just published her first book. I asked her to tell us more about it.
So the name of my first book is called Splashes of Pink in My Life, Embrace Your Quirkiness and Live Life to Its Fullest. And the book is actually a collection of wisdom, knowledge that I have gained through life lessons. There's also a collection of poetry and pretty much sort of outlines a journey through my life.
In a few minutes, Jayashree will read some extracts from the book, including a poem. But before that, I asked her when she got the idea to write the book.
So I've been wanting to write a book since I was 5 years old. I've always wanted to write a book for a very long time. And I've always mentioned that both to my family and friends, one day I'll write a book, one day I'll write a book. I just did not know how to go about it. And, you know, like, and there was a time in my life where I asked myself, you know, what is it that I really want? Why do I want to write a book? Is every time I read a memoir or whenever I listen to any personal development audiobooks, I kind of had this compulsion or something within me kept saying, Jay, tell your story. Tell your story. And whenever I used to talk to people, they would be so inspired and they'd be like, you know what, I'll definitely buy your book. I want to know more about you and so on. So, and I kind of felt I wanted to leave a legacy in the world. And as they say, you know, ask the universe and you shall receive. And I put it out there and I came across my publisher and they helped guided me through this publishing process and made it really simple, easy, and fun that I'm actually writing my second book as well with them. The publisher is Ultimate World Publishing, and they're an Australian-based company in Diamond Creek, Victoria, Australia. So Natasha Denman, Stuart Denman, and the team, they are the publishers, an amazing, amazing team to work with and also guide through the entire process. They make it so seamless. It's unbelievable.
To give a taste of the book, we thought it would be fun to ask Jayashree to read some extracts. And where better to start than the beginning?
Chapter one. This is the first chapter, and the chapter is on lactoferrin. This chapter is dedicated to the lactoferrin manufacturers I've worked for as a technologist. Murray Goulburn, now Saputo, Synlait, and Bega Cheese. I'm truly grateful for the experiences, challenges, and the space to grow both personally and professionally. One thing you will learn about me in this book is that I really enjoy writing poems and often comes as an answer to a question that is seeking a way to express itself. I wrote this one dedicated to my work in the field. So the poem goes, morning dawn and in the evening dusk, lactoferrin spread like mystical musk. Iron-bound valuable protein, iron exchange lactoferrin. Bloody red in elution, purity seeking solution. Playing purity versus yield, a game to capture in the field. Apolactiferin is free of iron. Mono is only with one iron. Hollow is saturated with iron. Several shades of salmon pink, precious and costly, just like the mink. Nutraceutical uses and in infant milk. Crazy about the sparkly pink. Discovered them on my eyes as I wink. Right from head to toe, do you see the link? How many shades of pink did you find as you blink? And the chapter goes into asking, time for some pink reflections. What did you get out of this chapter? What came to your heart, mind, and body as you read this chapter? What resonated with you? What would you like to share? What is your take-home message? I feel it's my utmost vision and mission in life to bring awareness of lactoferrin, the sparkly pink protein, to as many people as I come across in my life.
Jayashree clearly has big ambitions for her writing. So what is she hoping readers will get out of the book?
I really hope that they get inspiration and are able to apply that in their own lives and take action. Often I feel whenever I read a book, there must be at least, I definitely want to apply one or two things that I've learned from the book in my life. Otherwise, it just remains a bookish knowledge. So even if there's one or two aspects, for example, when I read or listened to Atomic Habits by James Clear, it was very, very clear when I read his book that he mentions, make sure you don't skip a habit more than 2 days in a row. And ever since I've actually read that book, I have five key check-ins that I have for myself that I make sure I complete or do for the day. So, for example, going for a walk, my meditation, making sure I drink at least 1 liter of water, having a hot meal and making sure I make someone smile, or, you know, I've made someone smile or put a smile on the face, or they have put a smile on my face as a result. So those are my five check-ins. So I make sure even if there is something, for example, I may have missed walking one day, I make sure. I read this book in February. So I have, since February, I've been walking almost every single day, noting it on Strava. And I make sure there's no more than 2 days that I skip. So what I would really like people to take from this book is live your life to your fullest. Don't be afraid to be yourself. Believe in yourself and encourage others and yourself through the process. And I would love for people or readers who read this book to connect with me. And I would love to know how this has actually inspired them in their lives and what are their key take-home messages and what are the things that they're applying. So what I would love for the readers to do or see or be is, how does it apply to them and how are they finding their own path? Finding their own way to life in their journey and share their journey. I'd really love that. Yeah. And yeah, that would be wonderful.
Speaking of journeys, and in keeping with the theme of this program, time now for another reading from the book. This is an excerpt from chapter 10, in which Jayashree begins to describe her journey to her PhD.
I have wanted to do a PhD for many reasons. And it has taken me almost 20 odd years to get out of my own way. I have had several attempts of doing a PhD. But why a PhD? Why the degree in Doctor of Philosophy? I get goosebumps far more about the philosophy part more than the doctor part. Was I here to achieve a name for myself to prove my intelligence? Why the PhD? It has taken me almost 9 years to find the topic, or perhaps the topic to find me, and acknowledge the whole concept of funda said in strong Indian accent about my PhD. Yes, I acknowledge and like the doctor in front of my name to become Dr. Jayashree Ravindran, not to be confused with a medical doctor, though I have suggested herbal medicines and remedies to medical doctors. After having done Ayurvedic cooking through the Art of Living, I learned a lot. I started experimenting and observing myself and my surroundings and seeing the impact of food on mind and body. There was a moment in my life when I was asked, where do you want to be in 5 years? The answer popped in my head, but I was too afraid to share it. I knew and I wanted to do a PhD and was afraid to vocalize it. I was afraid of the impact that it may have on my current life. More than anything, it was a way of being. When we finish something, not sad, it is the starting of something new, something so profound. I once bought a t-shirt for my father that read, quote, confidence, the feeling you have before you fully understand the situation, quote. I had a glimpse of that in 2018, and I was a few days away from starting my PhD. It felt like my head and heart was going in opposite directions, so I continued working in the industry. I did not know how things will unfold as things are moving at a rapid pace. By the time you are reading this book, I hope and pray and intend to be doing the PhD. You could say that this chapter is a cliffhanger. Before you proceed, I would like to ask you, have you had a moment or moments in life where the head and the heart were in opposite directions? What or how did you tackle the situation? Most humans go with the head. It is logical and it is usually the most obvious thing. The ones who want rapid transformation, want to leap into the unknown, go for the heart. I admit to having done both. At times where I've had a deep dive, where there were no expectations, I got a lot more than the situation where I have tiptoed. I found my next piece of puzzle when I got the news I have received a scholarship for my PhD. Lactoferrin is an iron-bound protein found in milk, and it is my utmost passion to bring awareness of the sparkly pink high-value protein to as many people as I come across in my life. I now acknowledge being an expert, while at the same time, I know there is still so much to learn, apply, discover, and transform. My justification for being one of the lactoferrin experts is that I have a strong network of lactoferrin experts. There are about 30 lactoferrin factories around the world, and I have worked for 3 companies while being involved in 4 factories. I have been working in this field of lactoferrin for over 9 years, and the product has been commercially available only for 30 odd years. Yes, specialist would be more suitable, I feel. Out of my own initiative, I created Ravometer and Ambrometer. Yes, there are personal reasons for the name choices too. Ravometer after my father's name, Ravindran. Ambrometer after my mother's name, Amuda. The Ravometer and Ambrometer can predict the level of lactoferrin in the milk, and it is simple and easy to work with.
One thing that's always fascinating to hear authors talk about is the writing process itself. For many of us, the thought of a blank page can be very intimidating. Jayshree describes how she wrote her book and how the publishing process worked.
So one weekend, I pretty much, I had bits and pieces here and there, and I just wanted to put it together. So the main crux of the manuscript was chapters 1 to 7, I was able to just get that out of the way on a weekend. And when the workshop through the Ultimate Publishers happened, it really opened my eyes and gave a little bit more structure. So I had chapters 1 to 7 almost prepared, because I've been thinking of writing a book for so long. So sometimes anything that would inspire me or inspire or upset me, I would actually sit and start writing, because I would feel, oh, what if, you know, this, I wish, you know, I had given this knowledge, or I was given this knowledge, or someone had shared this with me and applied this. So the whole process starts with having the manuscript ready. And then I had a 90-minute conversation with Stuart, who actually went through the key aspects of the book and actually getting a feel for why do I want to write and what was my purpose. And then the next step was going on this retreat, where it was a 3-day retreat, a Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Thursday retreat. And through the retreat, we had chunks of time where we would sit and actually stay extremely focused in writing. So I got most of the chunk of the work done during the retreat. And that's how you become a 48-hour author pretty much through the retreat. So great support with the team as well. There are many other authors doing this. And I did this on Zoom. And then, so the first part is actually getting your manuscript. Second part is goes through an editing process. It can be two or even three rounds of editing. And once it's edited, it goes into what's called as a layout phase. So what a PDF version of the manuscript would look like. And then through the layout phase, that's when, you know, I can say, I want the photograph here or this, or, you know, or choose the font and where I want, how I want the manuscript or ultimately the book to look like. And after the layout phase goes through getting a sample of the layout phase, which then goes through final publishing. So, and then my ebook gets created. And then once it's published, going through the ebook and going through the channel and making sure I've pretty much just before the ebook launch, what happens is I got my first copy of my book, which is actually currently in my hand. And I go through that and just looking through that and reading out loud through the process and making sure if there's any more corrections or any more reviews to be done. So it's a very simple, easy process. I would say probably if I was to lay it out, I'd say first is submit your manuscript. Next is editing. Next is layout. Next is going through publishing and then get your first copy in hand and then the ebook version and launch.
Jayshree's book has only just launched and has been selling well, but she has no intention of resting on her laurels and is already starting work on her next book.
So my first book is actually dedicated to my nephew. And my second book, which is called What Happened to Dr. G. So it's a little bit more fictitious, which will help me sort of dive into more creativity, into stories that I wish had happened or may have happened and don't really want to put names or. it's about a story. I'm still wondering how best to go about this. Is it about the story of a girl who went to Argentina and her life before, during, and after Argentina? Or do I say it as, is this the story of a PhD student? What was her life like before, during, and after PhD? So that's why the book is called What Happened to Dr. G, J-I. In Hindi, when you respect someone or with respect, like sir, or like san in Japanese, you say G in Hindi. So the book is called What Happened to Dr. G? And I've already got the front cover for that. All I have to do is get through my PhD and then publish this book. So it's another three and a half years away.
That's all we have time for today, I'm afraid. I'd like to say a big thank you to Jayshree for sharing details of her PhD work with us and for talking about her book. Congratulations on being a published author. You can search for Splashes of Pink on amazon.com.au if you want to buy the book, or if you want a signed copy, you can head to Jayshree's website at splashesofpink.mailchimpsites.com. We have lots more interesting shows planned for coming months, including doctoral students talking about their work in fields as diverse as winery cellar doors, using machine learning to support cattle identification, and the philosophy of Augustine of Hippo. We'll also be producing a show featuring CSU participants in the 3-minute thesis competition, and another covering the IMNIS industry mentoring scheme. So we hope you'll join us on 2MCE for those programmes. Until then, bye-bye.